This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
So when I arrived at the office and got there, I knew where Chris's office was and where I was being told to go to meet with Noelle. So I just took a wrong turn straight into her office.
Were you so nervous doing that?
No, fuck it. What are you going to lose at that stage?
Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So we're here for a good time and not a long time. So if you're easily offended or you don't like scandal and tea, then scram!
If you don't like green tea, peppermint tea, or tea from the spin doctor himself, Sam
Mangan, baby!
Mangan! Not Magnum, yo.
As we find out later, I really have a difficult time pronouncing his last name. But we are here to talk with Sam today. So Sam is the owner and director of The Spin Studio, which is in fact the company that owns the podcast in which we do. Well, we own it too, but you know what I mean. They own the...
We come here every week. We see them. It's a beautiful family operation. We call them, you know, Courtney's our sister. Okay, we've never done that.
No, we call their mum and dad who work here, mum and dad.
We do. They're so cute. But, yeah, Sam, we're very lucky and blessed that we're on his good side because he is a little fucking bulldog slash chihuahua.
He walks in and goes, does anyone know so-and-so? Because I just saw them at the gym. They're a fucking loser. And I was like, whoa. Simply here for tea. But anyway, we talk all things Kris Jenner, you know, scandal, what if I wanted to become famous, what he would suggest that I do. I'm about to go and do it right now, so stay tuned for more.
Watch this space.
But, yeah, it's a great little chat and more than anything. Oh, a lot of James Charles. Did I mention that?
He's been lucky enough and, well, because he's just very professional, to work with a lot of massive celebrities and know them, you know, quite personally. So it's a very interesting tale.
It is. So we'd love you to stick around and have a listen. And we love Sam. And more than anything, he's just got great chat. So stick around for a good time.
His strict vibes, 100% banter.
Bring him in.
Bring him in.
All right. Samuel.
Bring on Sam to the hot seat.
Sam's walked in.
There's a scandal
he's been erupting down at the local gym.
Standard me, really.
Standard you.
I don't have very good volume control, so which for the listeners, apologies.
Well, you and I have that in common, Sam.
You've gotten yourself in a bit of hot water with your volume control commentary.
Many times, yeah.
Okay, what's the most trouble you've ever gotten yourself into?
Oh God, I'm so bad with the memory. I feel like Courtney's probably better job here. I don't even know what are the worst trouble I've gotten myself into? Nothing that's like worth talking about. Like, you know, on my 18th birthday, I was leaving. I don't even know what that bar's called. It's like 80 different names. No, not Melbourne.
Sin City Nightclub.
No, it's Helm Bar. Is that a thing?
Oh, yes, that is a thing. Yeah, on 50, the water. Yeah,
I think it was called the Titanium Bar when I was there.
Oh, Titanium.
I know, why were we there? Not a vibe or a mood or whatever we call it. We should get to the bottom of that. Vibe ski ski. The two of them.
A vibe ski ski or a mood do ski.
Either of those words. And I walked past the bouncer at, I don't know the names of anything. All you're listening to, I get this guy off his trash. What is the name of that club that's like far too fancy and you wear a top hat, you get just straight in? What's that place called? It's all very moody and that the
Cocoon floor's, Lounge.
No, the floor's got like colours and shit.
Oh, Elsewhere.
Elsewhere, that's it.
Oh, you wear a top hat.
Oh, everyone's like, look how alternative I am. I'm so cool. Fuck out of my way.
That's the only place we go.
Sounds like you met a burner.
When I walked past their security guard, someone was like, should we go in here? I was 18. I didn't know any place. And I was like, ugh, look at the girl on the fucking door. I'm not going in there. Anyway, went back 2 weeks later, same girl. She recognized me. She's like, well, you're not coming in, are you, dumb fuck?
I know.
Not good. But nothing really ever like hectic, I don't think. There would be a lot of people who would probably be able to pipe up on my behalf and say like, oh, this is the reason I don't speak to Sam or why I hate him, but I'm not aware of it.
You just thought that
actually,
they just dropped off.
You guys love a bit of a drop in here. We'll just throw it right out there. What's that girl's name who's blocked me on Instagram and I have absolutely no idea what her name is? Huge influencer. Elle Ferguson. Blocked me on Instagram. Couldn't fucking tell you why.
No.
Really? I must have done something.
She's actually so nice.
Yeah,
never met her in my
love
life.
Her.
Never interacted with her. Never worked with her. No clients have ever worked with her. I've had no business with her. I have nothing to do with the girl.
That
and
is
I'm blocked
so
by her.
Interesting.
The only reason I know is one day someone asked me to go to her account and I couldn't find her. I was like, am I spelling L correct?
Surely there's only one of a few
ways.
Yeah.
Don't know why. So there you go. She could pipe up and be like, I'll tell you why. He's a fucking asshole.
Well, L, if you're listening.
Let me know.
We would love to know why.
Please call in and tell us. No, we've met her before and she's actually super lovely. So that surprises me. Mm. Yeah, I really like her.
It could just be that like maybe she's on like a real like zen positivity vibes moodski situation. And she was just like, this guy's just throwing out negativity left and right on his Instagram. I won't be a part
but
of
just
it.
Just unfollow, or if you're already followed and you don't want to see their stuff,
me. That's
mute.
What's worse. Never followed me.
Can
I
you
have
accidentally
no
block
there.
Someone?
It's quite a work, quite a lot of work. That does sound like something you'd say when you've intentionally blocked someone and they've confronted you in public about it.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Who have you got blocked?
Who have I personally blocked?
Yeah, many.
Virtually no one.
Oh, really?
I go through moods where I like unblock people. I only block people who follow me, who just the argument gets to a point where I'm just like, you're actually tiresome now. Because I find it quite sporting to spar with someone.
Sporting.
You know, on Instagram.
I love that.
I'm going to my block list now and see who I've blocked.
I don't even.
How do you do that?
I mute a lot of people. Mute's my favorite feature.
Is there a mute list? Can you find like a mute list?
Oh, my mute list is huge. Absolutely massive.
We're probably muted on yours.
You're absolutely not muted. That's ridiculous.
God.
There's a couple of influencers in here. There's a couple of journalists I have no interest in. That girl's just trash. No. I don't even know why I followed this person. She just went too far. There's a lot of people muted here, yeah.
How are you finding this? I want to see mine.
Mute's like right at the end. They go grey here.
Ooh.
Do you see all these?
I don't think I have anyone muted.
Oh, I've got a few people on mute.
What, muting?
So basically, if you go to the top of your, the stories at the top and you scroll all the way across, anyone that you have muted that has stories up will be right at the very end and they'll be grayed out.
Just in case people don't know what muting is, well, I presume they'll do because, you know, they're obviously subscribed to the Basic Girls Guide. They should know all about Instagram.
Oh, sure, that's it. Surely.
But if you don't know how to mute, you just hold down at the top there on their story on their little face and just comes up with the one that says mute. You can choose stories and posts.
Really?
Or just stories. Yeah, boom, bang, they're gone. Who are they? I don't know. I haven't seen them for ages.
I really want to see who I've blocked.
That's in, you go to your profile, then you go to settings.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean,
then you go to privacy. Uh-huh. And then you go to blocked accounts. It's just a little, I'm really on the
line.
Yeah, see, all mine are literally, if you look at mine, they're literally just fakies.
Yeah, a lot of mine are like,
same.
I've got a couple of troll accounts.
Yeah, that's all
I've got.
Disgruntled goat is one
creepy.
Of mine. What's that even mean?
Yeah, I've just got creepy people.
Goat. I don't know what that means. Yes, I don't really have anyone. There's one person on there that's a real person, but, you know.
Yeah, I've got one person on there that's a real person too.
And I just...
Scary.
Well, I'll tell that story.
I blocked a fake account of my own.
Brutal.
Mickey Westcott, I'm even the profile picture.
I blocked someone who's the best friend of my ex, who, before we broke up, I found out that he had hidden his stories from me. I couldn't view his stories, and he was my ex's best friend at the time, my partner's best friend.
That's nasty. Why did he do that?
Well, that's the exact point, right? You're trying to hide something from me, clearly.
Well, I found out recently that someone that I know had a story hidden from me because someone that I know goes, did you see this? And I'm like, no, and I know I definitely watched their stories on that day. Like they'd obviously.
You can check. So Instagram, the platform's shit, right? So if you go to their page and it's hidden from you and you refresh, it'll ever so quickly bring up the ring and then the ring will disappear.
Ooh.
Yeah, if you do, it doesn't work properly and Instagram is aware of it and doesn't know how to fix it. So if you go there and refresh, it'll show you the ring and it'll disappear. That's what that means.
I just get through life so much happier not like when
not
I found out that this
sort of information.
Yeah, when I found out this story had been hidden from me, I was like, wow, I would have been so much happier if I hadn't have known that. Or if you find out that someone you know or that you're friends with has unfollowed you or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I have an app that, like, you know, people have the app and they know everyone follows them.
Oh, my God. I would hate that because do you know what? Even if you don't want to do it, if you had it, you would just look at it by
100%.
Default.
Yeah.
It's like
it's toxic.
Not good.
It's absolutely 100%. Toxic in your life. It's not worth it.
I found out, like, recently that a friend of mine had unfollowed me. And I was like, don't ask me how I found out, but I found out. And I was like, why the fuck did you unfollow me? And they were like, tried to make out like they did it by an accident. I'm like, you didn't fucking do it on accident.
It's not a real thing.
Dog.
Yeah, that's so not a real thing, is it? No, so I also was like, blah, didn't really. I was like, clearly you've done that intentionally to hide something from me. I confronted my then partner about it. We believe that I know why he did it in the end now. But I was like, that's fine, you're blocked. I didn't care to see your content anyway. Bye.
Yeah.
So that's blocked forever.
Yeah, there's
now.
Something liberating about blocking a fuckwit, isn't there?
It's
you heard
nice,
it here first.
It?
Put that on a t-shirt, people.
No, I don't. I try where I can not to. Like, you'd have to really, really piss me off for me to block you, or you'd have to be doing something that was potentially detrimental to you know, like, for example, like going on to like your live or something and like saying nasty things on your live or what, do you know what I mean? Like,
definitely. I think also though, it, you know, we obviously all have Instagram accounts that are public. So I think the block is somewhat pointless. Right. So I know for a fact
you
this
can just
person
look from another
blocked,
account. Yeah.
They were now watching those stories from a business page that a business they own. So it's somewhat pointless. So it's ceremonial in nature where I'm like, I'm aware that was a dick move. You've now been blocked because I'm annoyed. That there you go. But I know that you'll watch my content.
It's almost
I'm not
like
trying
a
to stop
statement.
You watching my content.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's just because I don't speak to that person ever. Now it's like you're aware that I don't like what you did. That's the end.
Yeah, I remember there was this when I broke up with my ex boyfriend. There was like one of his friends who kind of got like a bit involved and I blocked him. And I was like, it brought me so much joy knowing that because I know that this person
that
would then
know.
Always look at my profile, that they knew that I was just like, scram. Because I reckon like their little heart would have sunk when they went to my page and they were blocked.
That's what I think, yeah. So it's like you've made your statement and you move on. Whereas if I had a private account, I think it'd be a bigger blocker.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, you have lost the privilege. Goodbye. You know, the weakest link, you're out.
I kind of almost feel like, though, with people that I block, I still want them to see my content.
See, that there's a balance.
Yeah.
Whether you want the statement or whether you're just, like, really putting out your best life and you're like, you should have to suck it up and watch what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. I see. I hear that, yeah. That's like, that's why you wouldn't block an ex. Keep watching. It's all happening over here.
I wouldn't block an ex. Well, actually, it depends who it was, but, like, I would never block Maddie because he's just
no bad blood.
No, he's not nasty, you know.
Yeah. I agree also, but at the same time I also, you know, things are great over here. Have a watch. Yeah.
Tune in.
Pop Netflix on hold, tune in. You know what I mean? Like
anyway, let's actually talk what we're here to discuss.
And muting.
But first, we have to ask all our guests, what's your wildest story, Sam?
What is my wildest story?
And Sam, I will say, you're quite PG, aren't you?
What does that mean? Oh, I've never done a drug in my life, never smoked a cigarette in my life. Yeah.
No, but you're still a fucking wild bit of gear.
Yeah, you definitely are.
I'm a wild bit of gear. I don't know. I need to almost like a lifeline. Aaron, Courtney, what the fuck does that mean? What does a wild bit of gear mean?
I reckon you get yourself into a bit of hot water every now and again.
Oh, boiling hot.
I am what you call a wild bit of gear.
Okay, yeah, I'm on board now.
Sam goes, I'm not that, am I?
Yeah, no.
No, it's like, means like.
And I can't even be like, sorry, I was fucked last night on all sorts. Everyone's drugs. No, I just walked myself right in the middle of that shit, didn't I?
It's like, you know, she's a wild jackaroo. What's it? She's a wild Brumby, just galloping through the.
Oh, yeah, she's just
the landscape.
Well, thank God you brought it to something I understand. A wild Brumby. Sorry, I'm bring it from the outback back into the city. I don't know what that is either.
You're either a jackaroo or a Brumby, Sam. Yeah, take your pick.
Sorry, I think we'll do a wild bit of gear.
Wild bit of gear or like a wild Brumby.
I think wild bit of gear is where we'll stay. I don't know what this horse business.
I love wild bit of gear. But what is your wildest story?
My wildest story, it's not wild. I know all about this show and I didn't even ask you to ask that question. I love that.
You're on. We put you on the spot.
I would say that it's not really wild, but it was wild to me at the time. The business was virtually nothing at the time. I was in Los Angeles. I was trying to negotiate to bring Kim Kardashian to Australia on behalf of somebody else. And I had a meeting and the meeting was with Noelle Kashishian, who used to work for Kardashian Communications. She's still a good friend of them. She still features on the show. She's a very good friend of Chris. Okay. She used to be senior VP for them. I had a meeting with her. Now, I've watched, you know, I consume a lot of the Kardashian content, love the family to death. Because Chris is a genius, she didn't pay to fit it in her own office. She gave it to a TV show. So they did a makeover on the TV show. So she never paid for it. But she's a genius. So
she is a genius.
She honestly is insane.
Yeah. So when you watch the footage, you actually see where her office physically in the layout is.
Mm-hmm.
So when I arrived to the office and got there, I knew where Chris's office was and where I was being told to go to meet with Noelle, so I just took a wrong turn straight into her office.
Oh, that is wild. You are a wild bit of gear.
That's
were you so
her.
Nervous doing that?
No, nah, fuck it. What are you going to lose that stage?
Okay, do go on.
So just stroll straight there. I was, I've come to the wrong place. I said, well, let's cut out the middleman.
Well,
shall
we have a drink?
Yeah, that's it. Let's just get into it. So, and at the time she had hanging up behind her, I'll never forget it, hanging up behind her, she had a Balenciaga City bag in this blue that had literally just walked on the runway. It was just after New York Fashion Week and I knew the bag, so I sent it on the show and I said to her, look at you, getting the City bag that fast in that new color. And she goes, well, how'd you know that? Well, Hello. So, and we just hit it off. And so that's now I've continued to sort of keep in touch with her over the years. But that's, and then anyway, Noelle got called in. We had the meeting in that one room instead. And it was a whole thing. Yeah.
That's
well,
so
that's
epic.
A great story. So I want to know more about meeting Kris Jenner. What are the Kardashians like? Which ones have you met? Who's who in the zoo?
Who's who in the zoo? I've met most of them except Courtney, And the two young, and Kylie and...
The Jenners.
The Jenners.
You've met Kim and Chloe.
That's a lie. I've met Courtney. That's a lie. Courtney's clarifying. I haven't indeed met Courtney.
You're saying Courtney's forgettable?
Sorry, she didn't leave a lasting impression.
You've met Courtney, Chloe, Kim and Chris.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
Lucy can actually do a great Courtney impersonation.
Courtney's
doesn't want to get glam done.
No, am I being Courtney or Chloe?
Courtney, isn't it?
Courtney goes, I am just like so not into doing my glam. It's just so not my vibe right now. And Chloe goes, Courtney doesn't want to do her glam.
We spent like 2 hours at lunch.
Refresh my memory.
Oh my God, it was
so, just so
funny.
It's just so not my vibe right now. You're just killing my vibe right now. Do a glam.
She's the opposite of vibe, though.
She's a vibe kill. Nah.
She's
I still love her though.
She's got cute kids. Who's your favorite Kardashian?
Rain.
Kim is my favorite Kardashian because she's brutal, and I love that. But Khloe, I think, is a close second.
She's gorge, I reckon. On the show, I'm always like, wow, you would be my friend because you're just nice. You're here for the people.
Yeah, she's just, I mean, so we spent a bit of time with her when I was over in 20, was it last year that I go? Maybe it was 18. 2018 we went over and we did the Good American activewear launch.
Yep.
And that was in, so we did Manhattan, which is a Times Square launch, and then we flew to Seattle and launched it with Nordstrom on their rooftop at their headquarters in Seattle.
Amazing.
And so we launched it with Chloe in Times Square and then the whole team sort of flew, and then it was a sort of an activation, whatever else. When she flew in, so it was the first time she'd ever been separated from Baby True at the time.
Baby True.
Sorry, big one.
So it was the first time. So she was very sort of, you know, she'd red-eyed it in so she could limit the amount of time she was away. And so she had to be 2 nights away. So she'd red-eyed it to try and remove one of the nights.
Yep.
So she landed into Times Square. She was like jet-lagged AF, didn't want to be there. So she walked in very quickly. It was a bit of a strange activation. There was tens of thousands of people in Times Square, and we were inside the Foot Locker store.
Yep.
And the Foot Locker store there is 2 levels. And so the first level sort of overlooks the ground floor. And so on the ground floor they had sort of like an ongoing event, if you will, but Chloe wasn't involved in it until right at the end as a part of a panel. They had these girls go out and do sort of a dance, and there was information about what activewear meant, and Emma Greed, the CEO, was doing, you know, talks and stuff. Anyway, so we were on the first floor looking down, watching it from behind, and Chloe had arrived, was done in glam, finished, ready to go in the outfit, and she was able to just stay in her dressing room, but she came out early and just stood with all of us and was sort of catching up and having a chat and whatever else before the event, went down, did the event, then flew out. Then we met her in Seattle, and this is sort of where – this is the reason the Kardashians are successful, because they're all the same as this. When we got to Seattle, we went to a green room that was set up. The room would have been the size of this downstairs sort of office area. There was probably 50 people that were in there, which were a mixture of good Americans – you know, other talent that were involved in the event, hair and makeup artists, Nordstrom senior executives, competition winners. Some of the Nordstrom execs had kids there.
Yeah.
And whatever else. In the back, there was 2 completely sealed off dressing rooms. One was Emma Greed's and one was Chloe's. Anyways,
is Emma Greed the owner of a Good American?
Owns it with Chloe.
The business partner.
So she's the most incredible and brilliant woman ever. Like, truly, look her up. She's unbelievable.
Okay,
so brilliant. She's been involved in some unbelievable things. And her husband is the owner of A Brand Jeans. Is it A Brand?
Oh my God, yeah.
No.
Frame Denim, sorry.
No, yeah, Frame. I'm like, it's not A Brand because that's owned by the same people as Rollers and stuff.
Sorry, it's Frame Denim, which is very big in the US. So that's how she got into the Denim Connect, if you will.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so they had a dressing room each. So Chloe arrives, walks into this room of 50 people, walks straight into a dressing room. Her team goes in there. You know, it's Andrew Fitzsimmons, the hair guy, and Harush is on makeup, who, you know, they think they're more famous than Chloe. So they sort of walk in. It's like, nobody look at me. Dear Lord, I'm so famous.
Wow.
So they walk in, go into the dressing room. They just sit down and just don't move. Chloe pops straight out, walks around for, I reckon, an hour and a half. Wasn't required in any way, shape, and form. Walked around, going up to complete strangers, up to the kids in the room, up to the executives, up to, you know, straight up to people just being like, how are you?
Inspo.
How's your day? Unbelievable. And what I will say, she walked straight in the door, walked straight over to Emily and I straight away and was just, Sam, how are you? Emily, how are you? You know,
wow.
And so, which really is the reason they're on top. you know, the fact that they can make you feel like you're a part of it, that there's no sort of, I don't need a dressing room, I'll just be, I'm happy out here, everything's so easy and breezy, not a problem. They're phenomenal at doing that, really phenomenal.
Good for them. That just literally makes me like Chloe even more.
Yeah, me too.
The whole family really, and you'll never find, I shouldn't say never because some people are just liars, but generally speaking, you won't find anyone in the industry who will speak poorly about them who has worked with them. They'll only speak poorly about them if they've watched the show, have heard about them. If you've physically worked with them, their level of professionalism is something to be admired because when they're on set, it's work. There's
and
no
you know,
diva.
Like, when you see all of the people that work for them, so like all of their glam teams, like, you know,
Jen Atkin,
all of those people, they are just always in absolute awe and gratitude of what they have done for their careers to the point where it's like they must be doing something right if the people that they have in their teams for many, many years are just like, we are so grateful.
Oh, I mean, 1,000%. And I mean, broader than that, the industry, I would say that they've changed the face of the industry, the Kardashians, in the fact that you would never have highlighted your glam team before them.
No.
No one ever sat in a chair and was like, this is who was on hair, this is who's on makeup,
you'd
this is on
keep
styling.
It secret.
You wanted to pretend like, oh, I did everything myself.
Yeah.
Mm. Now it's look what stylist I had, look what hair and makeup I had.
You're
that
so
was
right.
Never a thing before them.
Totally.
Never, never, never. So even on the very small end of the scale to actually get your career up and moving when you're a start out, even when you're servicing just regular people, now it's bougie to say like, oh, I've had a stylist and I've had hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Whereas before that wasn't the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
they've kind of like got their own reputations now as like being professional in their, you know,
100%. It's like, and it's now, it's like a cool thing to be a stylist or to be a hair and makeup artist because you're getting that gratification. So I think that's a really nice thing that they've done and created that sort of movement in the industry, which I think is very good.
That's interesting.
They're very professional people. Every shoot that I've ever been involved with, I mean, we've shot with Chloe on a separate occasion at a studio. And again, they've got such separated areas, but they don't entertain that. You know, the girls are, you know, come and visit and support and whatever else the TV show might be there. They're just getting around just normal people. Really just, they're just professionals is the best way to put it. And that's why they'll always be around because they're professionals.
So what other celebs have you met? Because I believe you've got someone very, very, you know, big in your midst.
Massive.
Tell us.
In my midst? Where are we going with this? I'm not sure. Are we arriving on James Charles?
We have arrived.
We have arrived. Tell us all. Spill the tea, as the young ones would say.
TT.
So James is a good friend and has been for quite a number of years. We met him 2017, maybe 2018, I can't remember. 20-something teen. And we brought him to Australia to attend Pacific Fair's Beauty Weekend, which is an event that we created with Pacific Fair around sort of the beauty vertical for 2 days. It was a big extravaganza. In the first year, we kind of proved that concept with some local talent. In the second year, we sort of went, you know, go big or go home. And we brought James out from the US, and that was just blew everyone's faces off. Like it was, you know, 10,000 people filled
Massive.
The resort and just unbelievable. And conversely for James as well, it was the first time really that he had ever done an appearance of that magnitude. So at that stage, he hadn't done any Morphe openings. He hadn't done any sort of key and big things. So what he did was, it was kind of a really surreal moment. So we had him, for people who are familiar with Pacific Fair, we had him in, he arrived and he was in valet. You know where valet is at the back of the resort, upstairs? And the stage was below the grand staircase underneath the patio, like in that main area.
Yep.
And so he was in the resort, you know, where sort of, calling back to someone who's at the stage saying like, now, you know, they've announced he's coming, so let's go. And just before that, I was sort of giving him a brief about security, about how things are going to go and whatever else. And right before it, two of his friends pulled me aside who'd come out with him and sort of said, what happens if someone pulls a gun?
Oh my God. I said,
wrong country. No one has a gun here. Like it was so, it was the most bizarre thing. Like we're in a mall and they were like, what if someone pulls a gun? And I was like, it's not a real thing here. You're good to go. Like,
yeah, literally.
So it was a very calming moment. But then we were talking security with him and I said, you know, a lot of things, you know, if something was to, you know, go wrong, stick with me at all times. Like I'll be beside you the entire time, but stay with me. If something goes wrong, security will follow me, not follow you. Because when I move, I know where we're going. You don't. Security knows that moving with me is, so you just don't let go of me if something goes wrong and whatever else. And he was like, Sam, it's fine. Like everything's good. I've got this. Don't even worry about it. And the doors open, automatic doors, just as they said, you know, let's start cheering sister. And he heard the roar and he turned around to me and he goes, oh my God, could you repeat all of that?
Yeah.
And it washed over him. And then we walked down, it's quite a distance. And I mean, I'm not that person, but you know, James is there and he's in this you know, unbelievable custom made one piece that he had made by Brian in LA for the occasion.
Let's just say wasn't undercover.
It was not undercover. It was stunning. He's wearing, you know, a Balenciaga heel. He was so good to go. And it was this long runway, basically, that he's walking with the entire top of the resort from valet all the way down. And people just turned around and saw him, just the screams. So it was a really surreal moment to do that.
How old was he at that time?
He had just turned 9. He was turning 19 in the country with
you. Whoa. Imagine that. Like, that's nuts.
I would fucking love it. I'd be like, you'd be what's there, up, like, baby?
Hi, sisters.
Well, I mean, he's very, very talented and unbelievable what he does. But I think that when you've got that level of admiration being thrown at you, you rise to almost a different level, right? Like, and he just rose to that occasion. It was pretty phenomenal. So we did that year one, then we did it again year two when we brought his first ever sister's store to the Gold Coast. So he's never done a store anywhere in the world. And we had him do his very first one at Pacific Fair. So it was, you could buy his merchandise and at the time his Morphe X James Charles palette and brush set. So it was the first time it was available in retail in the country before it went to Mecca. So we had that store run. So we came out to launch that, which was, again, super exciting. Again, you know, thousands and thousands of people. So that was a lot of fun. So we sort of, over that period of time, I stayed in very close touch with him, and I'd been to LA a few times on other business. And so I'd caught up with him. And, you know, I think he's just one of those, I've always found that whenever you're around someone who's like a true, what I would call an A-lister, right? Like, you can always tell the difference, I think, in someone who is an A-lister, could become an A-lister, and who is always going to be a Z-lister. And it's usually the way they act, right?
Z-lister, not even a B.
No, not even a B. And that's, you know, someone rolls out of Love Island and it's like, you're a Z-lister and you need to start acting like you're someone who's, you know, not better than everyone else. And they have this problem where they start to act a certain way. And I've worked with some of the biggest names on earth. You know, we did One Direction as well.
Yeah.
They're the most humble and the nicest people ever
them.
Don't turn around and act like you're better than because you're on Love Island and voted out week three. Shut your fucking mouth. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's got time for that. And that's the difference. Like, if Kim speaks to, like, I can tell you one thing, Niall Horan. So I did Niall Horan in Melbourne when he was, his family in Melbourne. So he's often back and forward. He was here, they were touring.
Niall from One Direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his little blondie.
Yeah, the Irish one. 2017, maybe something like that. So we had gone to the concert that night. I took Courtney. We went backstage. We saw them, blah, blah, blah. Hung out in the dressing room, had some drinks before the concert, whatever else.
Oh, my gosh.
We did that. And then later that night, or maybe the next night, I can't remember, he wanted to go to Crown. And so we were going to Crown. He wanted to go to Club, I don't know what the name of it is, Shane Warne's old club, Club 53, 62, 85, 23, Club 23. Thanks, A-Dog.
Thanks, A-Aaron.
A-Aaron with the club knowledge.
Yeah, boy.
Club 23 he wanted to go to. And so we went there and anyway, so as we're making a pathway through Club 23, trying to keep a low profile, we walked through the Crystal Club, which is one of their sort of high roller spaces. Mm-hmm. And as he's walking through, he was saying, you know, hi, Pete, hi, Carl, hi, Steve, to the dealers, the croupiers and the bartenders. And I was like, what in the fuck? It's like, why do you know these people?
He'd already been there and met them.
No. He said, oh, it's the same guys from last year.
Oh, wow.
That's his memory.
What?
Never in my life have I met someone like that. Knew the guy on the door at Club 23, knew every name. If they'd worked there the year before, he knew them.
And they just even take the time to get to know them. Like, that's so lovely.
Unbelievable.
See, that's just like photographic memory, though. Like, apologies. Yeah.
Oh, it is. 100, there's no, that memory.
Not even I know, remember my bartender's name, and I see them every Friday.
Whatever, you bloody Z-lister. Get to know him.
Listen.
But that's a phenomenal memory, for sure. There's no doubt. But still, just a nice guy.
Says a lot about your character. Yeah,
and when we got into Club 23, I had it fully shut down, right? Like, you barely even could sight him, and I got him into 23. It's not the best of the casino for that. But through car parks and back of house and whatever else, in their sealed off areas, all the rest of it. And he was like, I want none of this. Shut down the velvet ropes and this, that, and the other. I just want people. I want people to be able, like, no interest in any of that stuff. Whereas you could go in there, and it's funny actually that night, I shouldn't tell this story, but here you go. When I walked into Club 23 that night, it wasn't planned that Niall was going to go and we needed to get, he just decided I want to go out and have a drink.
Is it bad to admit that I would not know who Niall was if I walked into him?
I don't think so. I don't think it's the demo.
No, because, but there's a lot of people.
Listen, Zayn.
You know,
for
we're
sure.
not One Direction.
Harry Styles, or B. The rest,
Harry,
not so sure.
Harry, I would know. If Harry was a nobody, I'd still find him so good.
But I would say, though, that at the time, Zayn would have been less known. Yeah. So this was in the height of One Direction's tour.
It was pre-Gigi.
It was pre-Gigi and it was pre-Zayn having his Zayn moment per se. So gotcha. It really went Harry then Niall at the time, I think, would be, hey, if you're a One Direction person, I don't know. Anyway, he said to me, I want to go out and have a drink. Let's, and that's often, you know, if there's any celebrities that we work with, that's usually what it is. It's a call, you've got 20 minutes notice, we want to go to whatever else. So I call the team at Crown that we know well, we sort of make that happen, but I was physically happened to be at Crown.
What do you
at the
mean,
time.
Make what happen?
You can't just walk into Club 23 and then line up.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Dear Lord.
You have to like,
blasphemy doll.
You have to like create like a seamless environment
seamless.
For him to,
the car needs to arrive on, for example, at Club 23, you need to arrive on the third floor. The third floor is locked down after 8 p.m. So you need to get permission to drive into the third floor. You need to go from the third floor up via the spa. Once you get through the spa, you need to go back through the spa, back through the restaurant.
If anyone's trying to break into Club 23, there you go.
Can you get me a table at JL this Friday, doll? I'm loving this.
That's
my
a tough one.
Drink of choice is a Pinot. Thank
Lucy
you very much.
And Nikki would like to be swooped in by the back
you
entry at
mind.
Justin Lane.
Well, with really coronavirus bookings, it's quite, you know, I feel like I could use your magic.
But that is actually, though, that's the difference, right? A lot of those Z-listers have created a real problem for that process, because what you used to be able to do is, so I used to be able to call, and somewhat now I still can, certain places and say, I have someone coming in, we need to do X and Y and Z, and they don't ask a question.
Yep.
They know if I've called, I'm bringing in an A-lister.
Yeah.
That the person who turns up isn't third week voted off Love Island.
Yeah,
but now there's so much of that going on where it's like, I'll just, you know, I want a free meal for a post and stuff. People become so jaded. It's made that a little bit more difficult. They're like, you have to tell me who the person is.
Yeah.
And then you risk it leaking and there'd be paparazzi photos and it's just not worth it. Like a paparazzi photo of Niall partying in those days would have been worth 15, 20 grand.
Like a photo of, him out.
Him
clubbing,
out clubbing
it's
with
so
a drink
true,
in his hand,
like,
probably 15 grand. And Club 23 is not that high up. Like you could telephoto lens it from the street. So you need to be very careful. It's on a balcony.
Right.
So much that you can
sit up. Oh my God, I would love to get papped.
Yeah.
Someone
Luce,
pap
whenever we're with Tammy, Lucy's always like, I low-key hope we get papped. So
well,
I'm
Tammy
in
got papped leaving here the other day.
Yeah, I know. We were out for lunch the other day, and Tam's like, I just put on my stories that we're here. So like maybe the pap will come. And I was like, just like making sure I was sitting so close to her, like, hello, pap.
Here if you need. Oh my God, we were out with Skye Wheatley once. When she was pregnant and the pap came and Lucy was pissed and Lucy's stuff. Like the pap's like, Skye, 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 just like carrying on like an absolute turkey. And I'm like, oh my God. And Lucy runs over to Skye and starts kissing her belly.
For the pap.
Literally for the pap. And Lucy's like, oh, little baby there. I was like, oh my gosh, she fucking loves it.
I was wasted, to be fair.
Oh, and it was hilarious.
I wish we got to see those photos,
to be honest.
They never made the news. What about one time the pap rolled into one of mine and Nick's parties to get Tammy and he comes to the door
and
he goes,
Jagger drop. Oh, sorry, a second.
Can I get a photo of Tammy? And I was like, Tammy, do you want to get a photo? She's like, no, I just want to enjoy it. Because it was in like a private venue and he had come up to like the door. And I go, do you want a photo of me and Nikki? He goes, will Tammy be in it? And I was like, no. And he's like, nah.
He goes, sorry, girls, Tammy sells papers. And like just walked off.
I was like, so do we.
If you're interested in knowing about our new label, Jagger and Stone.
Well, Sam, actually, let's quickly. So finish off about this scandal with James Charles, but I do want to know
this
later down
James
the
Charles.
Track.
This is Noel Horan. We haven't touched on James.
Well, tell us James Charles, because you were with him when the whole scandal of...
I did, I was.
Yeah.
Everyone boil the kettle because you're about to make a cup of tea.
Frog emoji.
Do we love that?
I'll finish that story that I was just telling because I think it's a decent one. I've never told this anywhere. But Niall's coming in. I make the phone calls. We're getting in. All is fine, right? I arrived at Club 23. I'm physically in the building. I was downstairs having dinner. So I left dinner to go up and coordinate in person, which is quite rare, but I happened to be there. So I'd been with him the night before. And so I walked into Club 23 and the back area that you would normally use for a celebrity, it's the prime area because it's just off the balcony and it's a nice view and it's central and whatever else.
Stunning.
Was being occupied for the after party for the Maya annual Christmas party. So every person who is an ambassador for Maya was in attendance and was in this section. So I said
Jen Hawkins.
I won't name names, but everyone who was associated with the brand that year and may have performed musically. Anyway, they
who
were all
musically?
Present. And
Anthony Kalidas.
No, he wasn't. This is Kalia. He's a friend,
Anthony
so that wasn't him.
Shout out Anthony Kalidas, Australian Idol. Was
shout
your
out
bitch.
To prayer.
Shout out to prayer.
And so anyway, I had said to the main guy who runs the club, I'm going to need this area, so this is going to be cleared right out. And he was like, I mean, I'll speak to him. So he grabbed sort of the head of Maya at the time, or the head of marketing for Maya at the time, and said, we're going to need you to move on. We have someone coming. We've got another area that we can move you to. So it's like the less desirable area. Anyway, and so then I was confronted by quite a number of their celebrities being like, "Well, we're not moving." And I was like, "Well, that's a funny story. Get out." And they were like, "Well, absolutely we won't." And I was like, "Well, okay." So then I had to call the general manager of Crown Resorts, full stop, and be like, "They have to be removed." So then the phone call came down and their security physically walked out and carried several of them, and they were thrown the fuck out of the whole club.
Oh my God.
Every one of them.
That's is there still absolute beef between you and said?
There'd be several of them that wouldn't be my biggest fan. They may not be able to identify me, to be honest. It was a dark club and I was just that guy who was inappropriately dressed in a nightclub because I was at a nice dinner and I was like, I was nice to begin with. But then it was like, you know, we get updates. So I'll have a guard that stays with me as I'm doing everything and the guard will give me updates like because the driver, it'll be, you know, 7 minutes out. So I'm
like get a move on.
This is over. Wrap this the fuck up and get out of the club then. I don't really care.
Wow.
We want him in more than we want you idiots in. And at the time, One Direction had quite a number of suites at Crown as well. Ironically, none of the boys were staying there, but they did have suites there.
That's like a common thing, hey, just like booking a few different options in case.
Yeah, so in their case, usually it's a diversion tactic.
Yeah.
And also a backup. So if security becomes so bad, usually hide them in a house where no one can know where they are. And then you split for the boys, after their first tour, every tour thereafter, they had to be split.
Wow. Oh, they probably just wanted to hang out together.
Yeah.
Were they good friends?
They were good friends at that stage. But yeah, we had to be split because we had to split the fans. Because in one mob, it was a security issue we couldn't overcome. And so we had to separate them. So you would put them in twos and then a one, or you'd put them in a three and a two, or you'd go individual. So,
That's crazy.
But if security becomes so, so, so difficult, then the obvious place to put them is inside a casino where their number one fans are under the age of 18 and therefore can't access the property. So that's the backup. That's why you have suites available.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Is it true that people book like those sort of rooms under like
assume
funny
names
like
absolutely.
Flintstone, Fred Flintstone. Like
yeah, there's plenty
Hill.
Of Australian celebrities who think they're A-list who do the same.
Wow.
Mm.
I've considered doing it actually.
Go on, Luce. What's your name? What's your booking name?
Monica Lewinsky.
But you know what Bye. You do? Go with your own. What you do if you're not so fake, like if it's not Beyonce, right, who is under an assumed name, for example.
Sasha Fierce.
What you do is you book her under, they use Solange, no one gives a fuck.
Solange, don't worry about her. Beyonce's coming. Ooh, Solange,
The pap's like, not the one, anything. So what you'll generally do is if you're not at that level, you book under your name. And then you have someone who's booking the room call and block the room. So the room is blocked for callers and that's blocked for everything. Calls can't be transferred. Packages can't be delivered. No one can acknowledge it. It's called a block on the room. So you just call and request a block on the room. And then usually the entire hotel will be like, who is this person? What's going on? What's happening? Find out more. Google them every time.
And you just say like, you say Lucy Jackson, block the room.
No, so it's like Lucy Jackson. And then you would call maybe 24 hours ahead of the book and just be like, we need to have a block on that room. You know, very serious tone. Just you can speak to the reservations manager.
Do you reckon they give you extra
champagne? We need to have a block
in?
On that room. She's coming in from a bender and she really would like to not be disturbed. Thank you.
You don't add oratory normally to it. That's where you give it away. You know, we just constantly need a block on that room. They go, oh, we just need more details. I'm sorry, I can't go into any further. I'm
can't disclose, actually.
So, she's been at Tomorrowland and she just took a big old nap.
She's actually just fucked it. It's not something to do with any of you.
Literally, yeah.
What I will say is that that doesn't, you know, you need to be staying at a hotel that respects that policy. I wouldn't be calling the Meriton downtown and being like, hey, we have a block on the room. What the fuck is a block?
They'd be like, hey,
just hang the do not disturb on the
question,
door, all right?
Question,
bug
question.
Off.
If you had to put a celebrity up here, do you put them in the Versace? Or is
no,
that...
absolutely not. No celebrities will stay here. Celine Dion famously in 2018 walked in and then said, I will not stay here and walk the fuck back out. And
out
stay
of
the
Versace?
Yeah, walked in, walked in the room and said, absolutely not, walked out. It was so bad, in fact, that she in 2018 stayed at the Marriott. They had famously the 4 minutes it takes to get from Versace there to clear the senior vice president global Marriott marketing out of the fucking penthouse. He had to clean his whole family out to make room for Celine Dion.
God.
And she held her mum's 60th birthday in the foyer. Upstairs, level one, in a thoroughfare, that's all they could offer her because they don't have function space like that. And that's where she held it because she refused to stay at Versace.
Well, she's Why? Just a Marriott.
What's wrong
disgusting.
With member, obviously?
It's falling apart. It's so embarrassing. You've been there lately?
You know,
yeah, I kind of have.
We've been there like two or three years ago
like
when people
parties.
Were having an after party there. Like, listen, we're not Versace girls.
Neither am
no.
I.
We're more,
that's why I ask, because it's almost like, I feel like this is just a whole different world.
Yeah.
You don't have people stay there. Generally speaking, if you're depends on what you're here for, right? It's very boring. But if you're here for a long stay, for example, if you happen to be shooting a major motion picture that's currently under production, you know, in the next 60 yes. days here on the Gold Coast, you would be located in one of three homes based on the Gold Coast.
Houses,
for sure, right. Every time.
Okay.
Before they usually get put straight into the house, they usually have a transition period and they stay at the Oracle in Broadbeach.
Oh, no way.
You want proximity to the beach, and what you need is level one security is what it's referred to as. There's only a couple of hotels that satisfy that in every city. So, for example, in Sydney, it's a Sydney Intercon because it's built into the side of the actual rock, like the actual foundations.
I can admit I actually did wait hours for Justin Bieber in the lobby bar at the Sydney Intercon.
Didn't really? Stay there.
He never showed while
didn't
I was
stay
there.
Where did he stay?
Well, I did.
He stayed at the Four Seasons the first time he toured. He was at the Plaza the time after that, and the time after that he had an Airbnb. So no.
Airbnb on the sunny coast. Is that when he
sorry,
went?
No, he
sorry,
Ben. No, this is in Sydney. Oh. We're talking. Are we talking?
Yeah,
Sydney. And he had a house the third time.
Well,
man, you could rent some beautiful houses in the harbour.
Stunning home.
Yeah.
Stunning home. But again, it's more about the fortification of it. So, for example, it's a level one or A-grade security, depending on which region you're talking. Level one, if you're coming from America, is Sydney Intercon. So it's built in the side of rock. So it's fully secure in terms of if someone was to, like, a terrorist attack. So that's right. Where the president is only allowed to stay in level one hotels. So when Obama came, that's the only place he can stay. If a former president is here, Hillary Clinton, for example, anyone in that senior government, they can only stay in a level one authorized hotel. That's there. And if it's the president, they rewire the entire floor. So they come 6 months before and rewire the entire floor.
It's wow.
Insane, isn't it?
Like, when the president travels, he travels with two of his cars. The two limos have to be in country. He's got the helicopter here. He travels with, I think it's now 9 or 10 of his podiums because the president cannot stand in front of anything but the presidential podium. So they travel with the podiums. Oh, it's wild.
No it just idea. Seems like an insane amount of money to spend on specifics. You know, like it's just like.
Well, his security is $1 million a day, the president.
Of the United States?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's the latest figures, yeah. $1 million a day. It's unbelievable. I mean, that got crazy. I mean, he spoke at UQ, I want to say it was, when he was here for the G8, and they asked him to remove a roundabout because he has to be able to get, I can't remember the timings, he has to be able to get from wherever he is to the helicopter and out in a certain period of time if a safety happens. So if a bomb goes off, they need to be able to get him in the car and to the helicopter in this period of time, back to Air Force One and the fuck in the air.
Did they remove the roundabout?
No, UQ said, that's fine, but you're paying for it. We're not. And they said, well, no, you're hosting the President of the United States. You remove it. And they said, well, unfortunately, we're not. It was a huge, big issue. Wow. So they jacked up the car so it could drive straight through the fucking middle of it.
Oh, what my
I feel like
God.
These facts you're telling us can't be true.
You can Google that one.
Oh, wow.
That one's real.
So who's the most famous person you've met? Surely Kris Jenner. Justin Bieber?
Well, Kim. Yeah, Justin. But I would say Kim's probably more. I mean, yeah, Scooter Braun. Dwayne Johnson would be.
The Rock.
Yeah,
the Rock. Is he nice?
Well, we've met Vin Diesel, and I think that they're pretty much twins at this
him,
point.
Yeah.
You kind of implied, or you or I implied at one point that we thought he was The Rock.
Yes, it was a big day. Day two of Coachella. I also implied that he was in Tokyo Drift, and he was not.
That was the only Fast and Furious he was not in.
Yeah.
Wow. No, he is the most beautiful person. He's,
The Rock. You can tell.
Yeah, he is unbelievable.
I want to hang with him. Can you introduce me?
Look, it's a hard one to do during COVID times, really, isn't it? But we have a very good relationship. I introduced Emily Sky to him probably 2 years ago, and that was we were at a Walk of Fame ceremony when someone was given a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to that and I met him there. His publicist is a good friend of mine from New York, so we met him there and then he invited us to the set of Ballers and then we went to the set of Ballers and he cleared the set for 90 minutes to have a big chat with us and, you know, have a real heart-to-heart with Emily as well about, like, you know, the Bless industry him. And the career and whatever else. And then when we were in London, we happened to be in London at the same time, so he invited us to the set of Idris, what was that movie? 15 Furiouses and Fast. I don't know what the fuck it was called. Hobbs and Shaw. A-Dog was there. We brought A-Dog along.
Hey, Aaron.
Fun fact. You know, we sat down on all these chairs. He's going to die. We sat down on all these chairs. See, there you go. We sat down on all these chairs and we were brought in. And it's a movie set, right? It's all very over the top. They'll get a bit too far. You know, anyway, go in, everything's fine, whatever else. We walk in, there's four chairs there. And they're like, just wait here. You know, Dwayne's, you know, filming a movie. Stand by.
Oh, my God, I've heard this story.
Oh, have you? Oh,
yeah.
It's a good one. And then of all the seats, there's just one of them that says DJ. Get you to decide what that stands for.
Dwayne Johnson, the Rock. Baby.
Just A-Dog just chooses that chair.
Oh, no.
So then, well, they came over and I was like, well, that's his chair. You just never seen a human melt faster than that.
Oh,
I just melted straight out of the chair.
I would absolutely die.
Did he? Was he a legend about it, though?
He was. Oh. He was very much like, oh, does it? Nothing matters. Like, and he knew everyone, knows the girl who's working on the cafe, knows the girl. He knew everyone. Just,
that's
he was
so nice.
Yeah, so with him for that, which was nice. But yeah, he's really, really lovely. really sort of good. Good on text, like even he'll reply to a text. Like, just a nice guy.
Just a normal nice
okay,
guy.
Okay, I want to know. We want to hear the James Charles tea.
Yes.
Well, I don't, I mean, what is the tea is well, so the, public the now, right? Like, this conversation scandal 6 months ago probably would have been even more juicy, but it's kind of all out in the open now, right? Like, Jeffree Star and Shane Dawson were involved in perpetrating a fraud against James.
Yeah, but you were there when, like, when James Charles found out that the girl put the YouTube video up. Like,
yeah.
How did James Charles react?
Devastation is the only word to use, really. I mean, I was watching the video in the early hours of the morning because it was obviously, you know, the whole thing was a scheme and planned. And they posted it at about, I reckon it would have been about 2:30 a.m. Australian time or 3 a.m. Australian time. And his appearance at Pacific Fair was at 10 a.m. that morning. Wow. So they knew they were dropping it right before a public appearance. So I had, I was called by his team. He was still asleep. I was called by his team. I went over and I didn't know who Tati was. To be truthful, I didn't know. I'm not hugely in this world.
Why is Tati frolicking around with the young kids when she's like 40? Lady, you need to stop being there for tea and need to drink some tea.
Lady,
you old.
Well, yeah. Actually, and that's what makes it also disappointing is that she was sort of, you know, I mean, James used to call her mum.
Oh, that's weird.
No, because so James used to live in New York. His family lives in New York. He moved out to LA to try and make it and like really advance his career as much as he could. And so when he met her and her husband is quite a powerful agent in Hollywood, they were just giving him advice. And so he really just sort of turned to them in times of, you know, it's a tough world out there. You get offered these big contracts and managers and all the rest. So they helped find him a manager and they really helped.
So she was like a motherly role almost, her
very much so, 100%. When you know, he had no one out there and, you know, he was having to meet all brand new people and this woman was really helping him along and she obviously had great standing at the time and so she was able to show him how to do what with YouTube and with ads. She was just able to help him. So
you were with him and you obviously facilitated in some of the strategy to kind of get him out of what I would call a PR crisis for sure.
Your words, not mine.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It's he lost like millions of followers in days, like millions.
3 million still is a Guinness World Record.
That is amazing. But now, look at him now. He's come out better and on top. And you are, in fact, his manager now.
I am indeed, just like
that. Do you think that had a lot to do with it? Like you earned his trust through being so awesome in that situation? Like,
Look, I think maybe – I don't really know. I couldn't really comment on what James is thinking. But I would say that really it's just his career has sort of gotten to a stage now where, you know, he's amassed – he's now the most followed beauty influencer mm-hmm. on earth. He hit 20 million on Instagram this morning. He's 20 million on TikTok. He's 20 million on YouTube. You know, he is by far the most followed and you know, no one will catch him in any sort of near term. And so, you know, that sort of level to which he's at now, he's mastered. And he's not an influencer – you know, there are plenty of them, or not a celebrity that has no idea. He's an unbelievably intelligent guy, mm-hmm. very smart. The fact his success is by design, you know, it's not by chance. He works so hard every day.
And I hate to say it from looking from the outside in, and this isn't just on James Charles, this is on anyone that's in the US kind of influencer industry, when we barely know anything. But there's this crazy kind of world over there where you've really got to like, it's about who you're friends with and then all of a sudden it's about who you're enemies with. It's like science almost.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem that you've got, right, is that it's good and bad. I mean, this is probably not very interesting, but the most relevant example of this would be what Gleam did in the UK when they were growing huge subscribers over there. So Zoella, Alfie Days, there's like 10 of them. I can't remember any of their names. Anyway, that group of people, they all grew because a guy named Dom, who owned a company called Gleam, who was their management, put them all together and had them all collab with each other on each other's channels and BTS. So they all grew exponentially together.
Yep.
And that's how he turned the 10 of them into the biggest UK YouTubers there was.
Yep.
And so that wasn't formally done in the US per se, but they were all smart enough to know that on our own, we're one person. But if we collab together.
Well, it's like, you know, the Cloud House and Ben 10 or whatever they're fucking called, Team 10 or.
Team 10, 100%. It's Hype House. Is that the one we're doing with? It's
a little cartoon.
Ben 10's your kids thing.
The little jet.
The Hype House is the exact example of that. Put them all together and they can all grow exponentially together. Yeah. So I think that's the case. But, you know, it's like why bands break up and stuff, right? Like you put super high level egos in one scenario like that, and then one person starts getting more followers than the other, it creates division. I mean, that's natural, you know? It's why they say, it's why Coldplay's successful, right? Because Chris Martin said from the beginning, I won't take more money than the guy playing the drums. We all make equal money. no matter what. Even though Chris is writing the damn song, standing at the front, he's the only name anyone knows, yeah, they all take equal money in Coldplay. Whereas
what a legend. I want to hang out with that bloke.
Whereas the Good Charlotte was like, let's all be equals. That's a joke. You've all been fired. We'll hire new people in another city. See us.
Good Charlotte, now they're
the Maddens, though. They're not Good Charlotte. Don't worry about it. They got shafted, those guys.
It's very rare that a whole band becomes famous, isn't it? Like,
impossible.
Mainly it's always just the front person. But, you know, like a drummer that I thought always stood out was Travis of Blink-182. He was always quite iconic. Yeah.
Agreed.
Couldn't comment. I don't know as much about them, but okay.
He was scared of planes, wasn't it?
Did he die in a plane crash?
No, he was in a plane crash. And he refused to fly anymore, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's what happens, right? Like, because those contracts get really nasty. Yeah. Like, what percentage did you write of this song? What percentage did you play? Is your instrument used or it wasn't used? Then you're trying to write a song to make sure your instrument's in it. It just gets nasty. So smile with Coldplay the way they did it.
So I want to know.
Nice one, Coldplay.
You're obviously the master, like, you're a spin doctor, as I've heard.
Spin doctor, wow.
You know, people be referred to in the past. If you were to spin a scandal for me and Nikki, what would it be? I'm genuinely interested.
Well, no, that's not how it happens. You need to tell me what the scandal is and I tell you how I'd spin it.
Oh, no.
You want me to create the scandal?
No, I want you to create the scandal.
What does that mean?
Like, if me and Nikki came to you and were like, listen, we've got a budget of like $50,000 that we want to give you, you've got to come up with some kind of scandal to make us more famous.
Okay, can I just be clear? I don't do that. I have no clients that pay me to create
today.
A minute ago you were just like, it's great that you were by James's side. Now you're like, what if we paid you all this money to create a false scandal that could just boom things?
Just so everyone knows at home, Sam is a professional, but we're asking you to be unprofessional for happy hour here today.
Play a fun game with us, Sam.
Play the game. Have you ever heard of hypotheticals?
Tell me.
Well, it needs to be, it would have to be something associated with someone very famous, right? You need to inject fame into it.
Oh my God, who
it.
Would be my famous boyfriend?
That's not a scandal.
That's not a scandal. And it's very hard to make someone famous. Well, it's very hard to make anyone be my boyfriend, let alone a famous person at this point. So let's.
Here you go. Why don't you just wait until 3 a.m. in the morning. I'll make some phone calls, climb a fence and just be seen walking out of Kanye's ranch in Wyoming.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God! We're going to America, baby! America, baby!
Do I send the invoice straight to Jagger and Stone, or is that
line up
with
Wild
Ones PTYLTD?
Scruffled hair, like oh my God! I just shat Kanye.
Just Jordan the shit out of it, real.
Just walking out with like holding a bra, like ooh.
I'd be so awkward. I'd be like,
In Yeezys.
Hello, everybody. I just had sex. That's what I said. Don't look at me. I just had sex with Kanye. What?
Okay, on the topic. Kanye, I'm going to ask you because you are up to date with celebs. Is he all good?
No.
You good, Kanye, honey? Yeah, Kanye, no. You good, baby? What's going on?
Well, I think you know, Kim was, I mean, wow, that's, I mean, you. If I'm a spin doctor, I'm not sure what Kris Jenner is, but just the queen, really.
She's just continuously spinning. She's the zipper, that fucking ride of the show.
She's just a vinyl on constant.
She's spinning while she's spinning.
No, yeah. What's that, that saying, the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder. Like,
it's so
have
true.
You ever seen?
It's
do you know Benny Drama?
Yes.
Have you watched God, his skits where
dead on. He's dead on, really?
Kris Jenner's hand comes up, and it's always the devil hand,
and then the wings flap out.
For anyone playing at home that hasn't watched Benny Drama's skits, literally, I have been so sad recently, and I will sit in my room and watch those videos and piss myself alone. He is so funny. That's where I got the. Courtney doesn't even want to wear a glam.
Literally.
And they love him too.
Do they?
Hugely into him. Huge, oh. They comment on a lot of his stuff. They're huge. Chloe is a huge fan of his.
He's my hilarious. Favorite one yeah, that you showed good. Me isn't even a Kardashian one. It's him imitating a hairdresser.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You got hair girls still? Let's get your hair girls.
You get some hair girls? And she's like chewing on that. Let's do it. All right. We ready, girl? All right. Let's go. And it's like, so I haven't spoken to my mom in like 8 years. Like, but she's just like, oh my God, honestly.
He's very good.
It's he's so funny. So I actually had a small crush on him very briefly and realized he was actually very much gay. Devastated.
That's not the first gay man you've had a crush on.
Wow. Just opens his mouth and purse falls right out, really.
When we were in New York, Lucy had a crush on, to be fair, he was stunning.
Beautiful gay man.
Wearing a Camilla kaftan.
So he was there wearing a Camilla kaftan. We met up with all these,
fabulous gays.
We met up with, and we were like, Camilla. Him and I were like bro-ing down for ages. And I was like, do I have a crush on this gay man? And he was with the other gay guy who was also stunning, and they were just a beautiful couple. And anyway, another one bites the dust.
I wish
they
got their details. I would like, love to catch up with them again.
Yeah, do you know Khan from MasterChef, who was on last season or the most recent season?
Yeah.
He's very similar. He would be the type of person who would wear a Camilla caftan. I used to go out with him in Melbourne.
No, these guys were like very tall, masculine, like...
And he's wearing a caftan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they worked for Camilla.
Yeah,
they
worked for Camilla. Blanks. There you go.
Yeah.
That, like, you're in America rolling around a Camilla caftan.
No, he worked for Camilla.
Okay. That's how we met them.
And then we went to this other guy's apartment. And he
was the founder of Wilhelmina Models.
Yeah, and Meryl Streep lived upstairs. And he'd be like, walk for me, doll. Give me a walk. Give me a favorite walk as if I was casting you.
We were partying in their apartment with them with this incredible older man who was like one of the most famous male models of the 90s.
Oh, wow.
What was his name again?
I'll Google.
He was 90s. Stunning. I think he had a little crush on Nikki. I was very much preoccupied with the gay man in the caftan.
I was just looking him in the eyes and I said, what is love? And he said, it doesn't exist.
No, his voice wasn't like that. He was European, babe. He was like, it doesn't exist. I'm like, beautiful man. But.
Oh, my God. Boom. Straight up found him. Mark Vandeleuwe.
Oh.
Literally the second person. I Googled 90s male model and there he is.
Mark Vandeleuwe.
And we spent a beautiful evening with him. And to be honest, at the Starks, he was quite old. He was there for New York Fashion Week. He walked in a show. And he was like, we're all getting into taxis and no one got in his. And he was like, girls, come with me. And I was like, no one leave me with the creepy old man. And he knew that we were scared of him. And turns out he is Mark Vandeleuwe.
I got in the taxi with the gay man and his partner.
Apparently you were leaving you alone.
It's rumored that Zoolander was based on Mark Vandeleuwe.
Yes. The movie Zoolander.
That's cool.
He invented Blue Steel, apparently.
Have you seen that TikTok where it's like, I'm bad on TikTok, but like, the person's like shaky and then they like do that walk, that strut to that music. Yeah, I should do that. That'd be, I was just thinking about this model.
I haven't seen that one.
Haven't you? Oh, it's James Charles, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
I want one more scandal strategy. Maybe something that doesn't involve me flying to Wyoming.
It's coronavirus. Come on. Yeah. We need to look local.
Needs to be local.
Do you know the Hemsworths?
What are you trying to?
Do you know Liam and Chris?
I also not providing comment on that either.
Someone intro us to Liam.
Why? What do you want?
I want Liam. Oh. Scram, Nikki. You don't get every boy.
I'll get Zac Efron. Have you seen him since he's been here?
Byron. No, but I do have his address. Why don't you just go to the cafe in Byron? They're every morning.
Yeah, because we just can't get across the border, doll. It's closing. Should we go for lunch?
I'd be way too
imagine
scared.
Imagine if we went for lunch tomorrow before the border closed and then fell in love with Zac Efron and Liam Hemsworth and we just had to stay in New South Wales forever.
Oh, that'd
like
be
it's that far.
That'd make me. I'm actually sitting here like, God, that'd be pretty good.
Should we do it? You never know unless you go.
Just casually, like, oh, yeah, I'd do that. If they can.
Maybe I consider it. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds pretty cool.
Well, there you go. I mean,
give me another scandal. I mean, a realistic one. One where it doesn't involve me.
So realistic. Byron Bay is 45 minutes away.
I cannot mesmerise Liam Hemsworth into dating me.
No, yes, that's what I'm saying.
I dated Miley Cyrus and you're kind of similar.
But that's the scandal though, not the Hemsworth, because I don't want to be on record as saying that. But do Efron, you know, leaving his house. Same strategy.
Oh yes.
Bit of a rager of a party.
Does he party?
I reckon.
Is he party? I know a couple of girls at party.
No, he doesn't. He'd be more like running into him in the bush, like in a hill hike.
Yeah. Oh, boring. Can't get around that.
I know.
Hike for Efron.
Will party for Hemsworth.
Also valid.
Yeah,
will party for no reason.
Yeah, will party for a Friday.
Will party for tonight.
The vibes.
Okay, sorry. I love that strategy.
That's just an easy one. I don't really know what you're trying to achieve out of the strategy. Just general fame, is it?
Just general fame.
Why don't you just go on Big Brother?
Nah. Oi, although, okay, can I ask this? Mm-hmm. The AFL player that was on Big Brother, what's his name?
He played like 30 seconds and got thrown off.
Dan, is he also the guy that does the funny skits on his Instagram?
Oh, I have no idea.
That one where he's like, don't say it, 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 don't say it. Is that not him? No. Whoever that dude is, can I look him up? He's a legend. You know the one? Don't say, don't say, don't say, don't say, don't say. You know the one?
I do.
This is definitely a joke I've missed. Here's the final one I'll give you, which would just be entertaining for me. They broadcast from the same place every single time, so why don't you just nip up to Brisbane outside Palaszczuk's office, and when she goes live to the broadcast, just throw a question out.
Who?
Palaszczuk. Well,
I'm not into politics, doll. Palaszczuk politics.
11 a.m. comes around. She does a press conference, and when she starts, you just go, "Excuse me, Premier, I have a question. Excuse me, Premier, I have a question. I'd like to know, why can't we just have a beer at the pub? Sorry, but I don't think there's any danger here. No cases.
Let's find Zac Efron.
You're right. Come on, Sam.
Way
options.
Too achievable. We want to cross borders, meet celebrities.
You're looking for coverage. Everyone's covering that. I can guarantee every question's like, how many cases? No one gives a fuck. Someone turns up with an interesting, spicy question. They're covering it. Every new network in the country.
Spice is, why can't I have a beer at the pub? I love that.
Well, you can come up with whatever you want, but you'll have, you know, a dozen cameras from every outlet in the country sitting there waiting to broadcast. They've all got nothing to say. That's a project introduction if I've ever seen one. They'll have you on in 2 minutes. Just like that.
Food for thought. I'm still a team Efron though.
Yeah.
Was it 50,000 per idea, or was that just for all three that I provided?
Listen, we've got the ideas now. You're not getting anything.
We didn't sign anything. It's free, believe it or not. Thank you for your time.
Fabulous.
On today's
no
podcast.
Chance.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Fabulous.
Good strategy. Okay, so what's the most crazy scandal you've ever had to resolve?
Surely the James Charles one.
I can't answer that.
Surely the James Charles one.
Every scandal we handle, I sign an agreement, which precludes me from answering that question quite specifically.
Oh, boring.
I know, very boring.
How old are you, Sam? You're so young.
I am 29.
Ah! You are so
You're younger than me.
Hang on, are you a 91 model?
Sorry?
Are you 1991?
Yeah.
So you're my age.
January,
I'm February.
Falling over the line.
So you're an Aquarius?
No, or a Capricorn. I think now I've got a bullshit new thing, but I'm a Capricorn.
No, you're a Capricorn. Yeah, I'm not believing the new stars.
What's the new star scram?
I don't care.
Absolute scram.
If
you're in a Capricorn, it's bang on for who I am. Bang on.
What's Capricorn star sign?
You're just an asshole, basically. And it's like, okay, sure.
What month are you born?
You feel like
January 10th.
I'm February 20.
I'm April 28. I'm a Taurus.
You know, just line for line when you read those books. Every book you pick up, it's like about a Capricorn. It's just bang on, really. That's why I don't believe
this. I don't think you're an asshole. Yes, I do, but I love that about you.
I think we love you because you like us.
No, but you know what? I'd hate to be on your bad side, but also I'd hate to be on my bad side. So, you know, that's why we like each other.
That's why you're bonding right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
As he sits here with his diamond ring and bracelet on.
His Cartier ring. Don't fuck with this man. He wears Cartier.
What is your thing?
I've got a Suzuki Jimny.
What does your little thing say at your desk?
So that's actually a story. I can tell. It's been like 4 months. This listener's going to be like, I'm fucking out of here.
Actually, we need to go soon, but continue. One quick
story. I'll tell it very quick. So when I barged through the office and I had the meeting with Chris, she had on her desk, "I'm kind of a big deal," the same nameplate I have. And I said to her, "Do you really need to point that out?" And then she was like, "Darling, I do what I want. No one's going to say anything to me," which went with the office that she used to be based in. She's now in the Kylie Skin offices. The office that she used to be based in is an absolute dump. The building is horrible. It's falling down. The carpet's pulling up. It's horrible, the building. When I got there, I thought, I'm for sure in the wrong place. And you walk along this awkward hallway. The carpet's horrible. The walls are this terrible yellow color, like they've been stained from cigarettes. Horrible. Ooh, and you get there, and there's this hideous door and just a number on the door. It's like a service office, not a service office, but a building with plenty of offices. It's just all doors. You get there, the door's just got a number on it, and it's got this little intercom thing, and it's like the thing's falling off. You press it, and like, yes. I was like, I'm here for having you, Noel Kashishian. Am I in the right place? They're like, yes. The door opens, and then it's like Narnia, right? The door opens, it's just like this palace that you walk into.
Wow, that's a vibe.
And so I said to Chris, like, I am shocked to my core that you're in an office like this. She goes, well, I've had somebody else's rent. People walk over hot coals to meet with me, darling.
Oh my God.
That's why my old office used to be in a building that I could have thrown a grenade in and bombed to the ground. Anyway, loved it to death, but we really got over that and moved here. Quick, smart, didn't we? But
you would not throw a grenade at this building. It's beautiful.
No.
So anyway, so then she had the nameplate, and then I then brought the nameplate up, and I was like, is that why you put the nameplate there? And then she was like, again, it was a gift from one of the girls. So she was like, again, everyone knows, so it's a laugh. And so then she said,
I love
Chris
Jenner.
I know.
She's the ultimate icon. She is the ultimate icon.
And she's a smart woman, man. Like,
she's a smart bitch. She's nice. She seems so gentle.
Oh, and the thing that I love about the Kardashians, they're still very family orientated. Like, say what you want about them, they love and adore each other and have each other's back so much, which is so
well, bye-bye, Jordan. Although, thank you for wearing Jagger twice. Love you.
Oh, my God. Literally love that
bitch. Anyway, so she had the thing. She said, you've got to get yourself one. So then I bought it. She was like, this is where this came from. So that's why I have it. I've always had it.
Well, Sam, inspo. I love you. We actually have to finish up because we've got to race back to our office.
We could just keep talking all day, couldn't we?
I could chat to you. Let's get you in for round two.
Let's we should just resume it on a drink, really.
Let's put into strategy one of my scandals.
Yeah, that's
and see how it goes.
Scandal. That's French for scandal.
Reporting back with a scandal.
Scandal.
Look out, Chris Hemsworth and Liam. Lucy's coming in for a threesome.
And Zac Efron for a cheeky gangbang.
Yeah, I was going to say something so rogue then, but I'm not going to. Anyway, guys, Sam, we love you. Thank you, as always. And if you want to follow Sam, he's Sam Magnum.
That's so close.
Sam Mangan.
He invented the Magnum ice cream.
I wish.
All right, love you.
Bye.